Congratulations, Chris Eubank Jr. He defeats Liam Williams on a wide, unanimous points decision over 12 rounds. It was a weird fight. I have to echo the sentiments of the Sky commentary team in that regard. Strange, strange fight, mainly because Liam Williams' punch resistance didn't seem to be anywhere near what I expected. I thought he'd be able to take Eubank Jr.'s power a lot better than that. But he was down in the first round from a jab. He was down in the, I believe it was the second round from a jab. Then he was down in the fourth round from a jab. Then he was down again late in the fight, although that wasn't really a knockdown. It was a punch which, on slow motion, appeared to land on the back of Liam Williams, just below the base of the neck. So it was really, I guess, should have been called a push or whatever the case may be. But that wasn't a knockdown. But certainly the first three knockdowns were legit knockdowns, and they were from jabs. And obviously, I've seen fighters get dropped with jabs many a time. But it's normally been fighters who are known for having a real solid ramrod jab, where they plant their feet and they step into the shot and they drop people. Like Sergey Kovalev, for example, when he eventually dropped Anthony Yard with a jab in the 11th round. Obviously, Yard had been taking those jabs okay throughout the course of the fight previously. But by the 11th round, he was tired. He'd taken a lot of punishment. His face was swollen up. And he walked into a real stiff ramrod jab from Kovalev and down he went. And, you know, I can name various other people over the years. But Eubank Jr. has never been known to have that kind of ramrod jab. He's been a guy that's had this rapid fire jab, you know, flicks shots out. But here against Liam Williams, yeah, I know Williams is rushing forward and Eubank Jr. lands a jab on him and it can double the power, but still they looked fairly innocuous shots. And yet Liam Williams not only went down, but he seemed hurt. It took him time to recover. You know, each time he got dropped from those jabs. So that was very strange. I don't know whether his punch resistance has deteriorated, whether Eubank Jr.'s just improved the timing and power of his jab so he can hurt people with it now. I don't know, but that definitely surprised me. I did not expect Williams to be that easily hurt by Eubank Jr. And I don't think Williams expected it either. So it did change the dynamic of the fight. I thought there'd be a lot more exchanges in this fight. I thought there'd be a lot more instances where both guys are stationary and they're exchanging punches, particularly as the fight wore on. I thought, yeah, the first few rounds might be a bit cagey, but as it warmed up, I thought there'd be moments where both guys are in the pocket, letting the hands fly. And we didn't really get that at all. After the first few rounds, Liam Williams realized that he couldn't stay in the pocket with Eubank Jr. because even Eubank Jr.'s jabs were hurting him and dropping him. So Liam Williams decided to stick with boxing, really. He was boxing on the front foot, obviously looking for opportunities to try and do something more in the pocket, but he wasn't fighting with reckless abandon at all. He was fighting behind a jab, which was effective at times, particularly in the second half of the fight. He did land some nice jabs on Eubank Jr., but ultimately, getting dropped three times in the first four rounds was an insurmountable deficit on the scorecards. Eubank was criticized by Johnny Nelson and Matthew Macklin for kind of coasting in the second half of the fight. And Macklin gave Liam Williams multiple rounds in the second half of the fight and had it close, I think, going into the 11th. But in the 11th, obviously, Liam Williams gets dropped again with a knockdown that wasn't really a knockdown. And then Eubank Jr. probably won the 12th. So I have to say that Eubank Jr.'s boxing was good. And as I've said in certain previous videos, I think that the work he's doing with Roy Jones Jr. is good. Eubank Jr.'s always been capable on the back foot. That's something that people have seemed to overlook and underestimate over the years because they say that he can't box. Well, against Nick Blackwell, he was boxing well. I know it's Nick Blackwell, right? But he was boxing well on the back foot there. He was boxing well on the back foot against Avni Yildirim. I couldn't remember Yildirim's name in a previous video. Boxing well against Avni Yildirim. And there are multiple other fighters. When people come at Eubank Jr., he likes it. He can box well doing that. It's when he has to stand in the middle of the ring against somebody who isn't really coming forward at him like that, but they're trying to maintain distance. That's when Eubank Jr. struggles. Liam Williams wasn't really trying to box that kind of fight. He was applying pressure, but trying to maintain a distance at the same time. Kind of like what Vladimir Klitschko used to do, where he'd apply pressure, but he'd keep you on the end of a jab applying pressure. And Liam Williams has shorter arms than Eubank Jr. So although he was landing some nice jabs here and there, particularly in the second half of the fight, he didn't have that extra bit of reach to be able to make that style and those tactics as effective as he would have wanted. He definitely picked up some rounds and clawed it back a little bit, but yeah, he'd suffered too many knockdowns and he was just too hesitant, to be honest. And when he did land, Eubank Jr. did a real good job of turning with the shots, because Eubank Jr. got caught a couple times with a right hand, but he, as Enzo Macronelli mentioned on the commentary, Eubank Jr. was turning with the shots real well. He could see everything that Liam Williams was going to throw. And so when the punch came, yep, just turn with it, take the sting off it. Liam Williams never managed to buzz, at least not, you know, as far as I could see, never managed to buzz or hurt Eubank Jr. at all in the fight, whereas Eubank Jr. hurt him multiple times all the way through. So yeah, strange fight, not the fight I expected. I thought it would be more competitive. I thought that they'd be in the pocket more and maybe Eubank would get hurt. And maybe just claw it out, a late stoppage or a close decision or something like that. But no, it turned out to be an easy fight for Eubank Jr., truth be told. And you really have to credit the work he's done with Roy Jones for that. And when you look at it, he did a much better job against Liam Williams than Demetrius Andrade did. And there's me championing Andrade's long-range boxing skills. Well, Eubank Jr.'s long-range boxing skills produced a better performance against that opponent than Andrade's did. Was this a diminished version of Liam Williams? You guys answer that in the comment section below. Or was this exactly the same guy who fought Andrade? Because it was his last fight, right? Or does Liam Williams had a fight in between? I forget. But yeah, great performance by Eubank in that respect. And that's going to stand him in real good stead, because look, he can say, I did a much better job than the WBO middleweight champion. Why shouennt I get a shot against Gennady Golovkin or Charlo or, you know, whoever else at middleweight? Why shouldn't I get Murata? Why shouldn't I get a shot? I'm putting in performances like that. Yeah, Andrade looked shaky against this opponent. I absolutely blew him out of the water. Unanimous decision, never got hurt, dropped him four times officially. So yeah, definitely a good performance by Eubank Jr. Stands him in good stead, which is why what I felt going into the fight. I did say that this fight makes sense for Eubank Jr. because he's kind of been inactive for a few years, hooked up with Roy Jones Jr., hasn't really fought opponents of any caliber at all. Whereas here with Liam Williams, we can measure his performance against the WBO middleweight champion's performance. Eubank Jr.'s performance was a lot better. So yeah, good stuff. Onwards and upwards for him. And let me know what you guys think about Eubank Jr.'s performance here. Did he surprise you? Did he box better than you expected? And have you now changed your mind on how well you think he could do against the top middleweights in the world? The Munguias, the Charlos, the Muratas, the Golovkins. Do you now give him more of a chance against those guys than you did prior to this fight? Or do you think that Liam Williams was just so poor that he made Eubank Jr. look good? Do you think that Eubank Jr. was maybe flattered a bit by how poor Liam Williams was? Let me know what you guys think in the comments below. Me personally, I think Eubank Jr. was that good. I really do. I think that, yes, he's always done well against pressure fighters, but I think there's improvements there under Roy Jones Jr. I think he's a bit more fluid at long range when he's exchanging jabs. I think defensively, defensively on the back foot, he was always quite good at slipping and sliding and what have you. So, you know, the real acid test is going to come when he's up against the world-class fighter again, as he was against Groves and Billy Joe Saunders, who wants to box him. That's going to be the acid test. It's not going to be when someone's coming at him and trying to take his head off. Although, again, there's levels to pressure fighting. So just because he's able to beat a pressure fighter like Liam Williams doesn't mean he's going to do it as easily against a world-class pressure fighter. But nevertheless, that is a style that suits him. A style that hasn't suited him in the past is more of a boxing style. Guys who keep it long and force Eubank Jr. to actually think, how am I going to approach this? How am I going to get past this guy's jab? That's what tends to bother him the most, and that's going to be the real test at world level. But I suspect that under Roy Jones Jr.'s tutelage, he'll actually be able to deal better with that style now, based upon what I've seen here, because he's being more cagey, he's less reckless, he's thinking about what he's doing more. I think his footwork has improved. There was some criticism from particularly Johnny Nelson in the second half of the fight. And there was a woman working for the Sky commentary team. She was quite critical of Eubank Jr. for coasting and letting Liam Williams get back into the fight. Eubank Jr. in a post-fight interview said that he let Williams get back into the fight deliberately to punish him. And he could have knocked him out at any time he wanted to if it stepped on the gas. But he thought, no, I want to teach this guy a lesson and drag the fight out. He basically said he carried Liam Williams. And Johnny Nelson wasn't having any of it. He said, no, that's nonsense. He didn't carry the guy at all. If he could have taken him out, he would have taken him out. I tend to agree with them. I'm not so sure I believe that Eubank Jr. wanted to carry him. I think he was being careful. I think he didn't want to make any mistakes, didn't want to give Liam Williams any opportunities. Clearly, if he landed his best shots, the shots he landed on Spike O'Sullivan, for example, the shots he landed on Nick Blackwell, if he landed those kind of punches on Liam Williams, the fight would have been over. But it wasn't that easy to land those kind of punches. You know, not without taking risks and exposing himself to getting hit, perhaps, you know, potentially hurt in the fight. Again, Eubank Jr. was not even close to being hurt here, but you know, you never know. If you walk into a shot when you're coming in to throw your own and you're really committed to it, things can happen. So Eubank Jr. never wanted to give Liam Williams that opportunity, and he just decided to coast. If it ain't broke, don't fix it, basically. Like Joe Joyce, when he fought Daniel Dubois, he just stuck on the jab, and he felt like, you know what, this is working, and I'll let him try and make the adjustments. I'm just going to keep doing the same thing over and over again. If he can't adjust, then he's going to keep getting these jabs. And I guess that's how Eubank Jr. felt, like, yeah, I'm going to stick to what I'm doing here. You know, it seems to be working. Although, again, the criticism being Liam Williams was actually getting back into the fight. Liam Williams has landed his own jab. He did win some rounds in the second half of the fight. So I don't know. I'm not sure how to feel about that. I don't want to be as critical as Macklin and Johnny Nelson and that woman, the presenter for Sky. I'm not sure who that was. Is he a fighter? Might be a fighter. But I don't want to be as critical as them. But I can see the point they're making, you know, in terms of Eubank Jr. really not just closing the show. That's a term they used to use back in the days. Not closing the show and really putting, you know, an exclamation point, excuse me, on the performance. So anyway, let me know what you guys thought about the performance in the comment section below. I'm out. So DAZN's attempt to acquire BT Sport has fallen through. BT apparently now are doing a deal with, is it Disney? Discovery? And that leaves DAZN out in the cold. Now I've heard from some sources that it was BT that broke the deal off with DAZN, but other sources are saying that it was actually DAZN who broke the deal off because they said that it wasn't commercially viable anymore. I don't know what that means. They didn't expand. But whatever the case may be, at first glance, this appears to be very bad for Eddie Hearn, DAZN Boxing UK, and perhaps even DAZN Boxing in the United States. But on closer inspection, I'm not so sure because I don't work for DAZN. I don't know how their business model works from the inside. I don't know anybody that works for DAZN. But what I do know is that there was some people when DAZN first entered the US market who were speculating, and I'm talking about just boxing fans and even some journalists, who were speculating that DAZN were just using boxing to get their foot in the door in the US market. And some believe that once they got their foot in the door, they were then going to try and acquire a more major sport like NFL, NBA, at which point boxing would just become an afterthought. And the same in the UK. Some people felt like as soon as DAZN manages to get hold of Premier League football, then they're going to push boxing to the side like some stepchild. Well, they haven't managed to secure Premier League football in the UK. I'm not sure if they've managed to secure a major sport in America like NFL, NBA. I don't believe they have. Correct me if I'm wrong. They certainly haven't got Premier League in the UK. I believe that's staying with BT and who are doing a deal with whatever it is, Disney, Discovery. So what will DAZN do? How will they react to this? Will they then focus even more intensely on boxing? Or were they relying on the massive amounts of revenue they expected to generate from Premier League football to actually continue investing in boxing and continue promoting boxing. I don't know how it's going to go, but it is interesting. And surely Eddie Hearn must be feeling slightly anxious at this point because a few years back, it looked like Bricktop was nearly out the game. I mean, one thing I always said all along is that he is an extremely, extremely determined man. I mean, this guy's more determined than the Terminator. Bricktop, that is. He's just unbelievable, that guy. I mean, when he got shot, he checked himself out of hospital after a couple days. He nearly died from that gunshot, people. And he checked himself out of hospital after a couple days because he wanted to get back in the game. You know, he was very competitive and he didn't want his opposition getting one up on him while he was laid up in the hospital. So he's, you know, this guy's extremely competitive and he's come back from the brink many a time. Not just the brink of death when he got shot, but I'm talking about in a business sense. So yeah, anyway, a few years ago, it looked like he was on his last legs. His business was absolutely tanking and Eddie Hearn was doing tremendously well, going from strength to strength. Eddie was so cocky at one stage that he was waving his hand saying that Bricktop ain't even competition at all. Don't put him in the same sentence as me and the word competition. That's ridiculous. I have no competition in the UK. My only competition is in America. Not so, you know, keen on saying that now, especially after that, what was it, 41 million dollar bid. Now, again, Eddie Hearn has said that the actual amount of money that they're going to pay out to Tyson Fury and Dillian Whyte probably won't amount to $41 million because Eddie Hearn suspects that they put in an artificially inflated bid, that they'd already agreed behind the scenes what they were going to pay Tyson Fury and then put in this fake bid to just outbid the competition. You see it? Whatever the case may be, they still put in a massive bid. Even if their bid was only as big as Eddie Hearn's bid, which was £30 million. Was it £30 million or $30 million? I swear it was $30 million. So I'm not sure what would be in pounds. But even if it was only as big as Eddie Hearn's bid, that's still a massive bid. That still means that Bricktop is a player in the game right now in the UK, irrespective of where he's getting his money from, you know, Bob Arum or BT, whoever's helping him out financially. He's still able to get the money, apparently. So he's still a player in the game. And also, a lot of people were talking about the possibility that Bricktop's business, I nearly said his name there, that Bricktop's business might be affected by DAZN acquiring BT. Well, DAZN are no longer acquiring BT. So Bricktop can breathe easy. And anybody who thought that he was going to go down in flames if DAZN acquired BT, well, I guess he won't be anytime soon. So those are my thoughts on the whole situation. Let me know what you guys think in the comments below. Is this going to be good or bad for BT boxing in the UK? DAZN boxing in the UK. Is it going to be bad for them? Is it going to be bad for DAZN boxing in the United States? Let me know in the comments section.